I am Jeff Garcia, and this is Locked On Spurs. Welcome back to another episode of Locked On Spurs on the Locked On Podcast Network. And your San Antonio Spurs snapped their two-game losing streak, beating the Portland Trail Blazers at home 131-118. It was a much-needed win for San Antonio that were blown out in the previous two, and that's what we're going to do tonight. We're going to be looking back at how the Spurs got the win. What was the difference? Why were they able to slow down Portland with their dynamic duo, McCollum and Lillard? They just couldn't do it in the previous two. And also, we're going to look ahead. Is this a turning point for San Antonio? Should Spurs fans look at this win over Portland as the game that turned things around? So to do that and more, I am joined by Joe Garcia of Two Shots Podcast. Joe, before we start talking Spurs, are you still beaming over the Cowboys' win?
Of course, man. I'm going to keep beaming over it until they lose again.
Yeah. Joe and I, we were able to meet up recently and just celebrate a Cowboys win. But enough about Dallas. Talk about San Antonio. Joe, the Spurs, they actually stopped the team from running up the score on them. The Spurs actually played defense in Spurs. They actually were able to contain power perimeter players, McCollum and Lillard. Joe, let me give me your overall thoughts. What were you thinking coming off this win?
Coming off this win, the team looked like they had a lot more life in them. They came out early. They looked great as far as the team energy, the team cohesiveness. It looks like they were playing inspired basketball. And not only that, but they also looked like they were spacing the spacing on the floor was a lot better in this game. They weren't as grouped up as they were before, getting in each other's way. They were in rhythm early. They were running the ball. You know, they were on the fast break, should I say, against the Portland Trailblazers, and it showed in the stat line. If I looked here, you know, the Spurs were controlling the pace. They were running the ball. I mean, they had 17 fast break points compared to just 8 for the Trailblazers, which means they were playing really good ball. They came out with a lot of energy, and you know, I think they were playing for Coach Pop's job at this point. Because let's face it, if the Spurs continue to lose, what's going to happen at the arena? You saw it, against the Blazers. You know, we all saw it, and we're watching the game. There was a lot of empty seats. You know, you look around the arena, the camera pans around. In the lower bowl especially, you saw a lot of empty seats. And if this team continued to lose, and they continued to lose revenue, something had to change. You know, so I think they gave Coach Pop some extra life. He's going to stick around for a little while longer, and hopefully this unit can continue to play some inspired ball, because if not, Jeff, we know what's going to happen.
Well, as far as Pop's job, he is, he's the president of the team, so yeah, I'm pretty sure if anybody's going to fire him, nobody can, because he has to resign himself. But I hear what you're saying. Look, in the last game versus Houston, he took the blame for that loss. He said that was all on him. And it looks like the Spurs had themselves a practice the next day coming off that big loss to Houston, and they paid off. You saw what happened versus Portland. They were to put the smackdown on the Blazers and even up the regular season series one apiece. Joe, for the game, they were without Marco Bellinelli, which really didn't matter because they went back to a starting lineup of Rudy Gay, Davis Bertans, LaMarcus Aldridge, DeMar DeRozan, and Bryn Forbes. What do you think about inserting Davis Bertans in the starting lineup?
I just think it gave him another scorer. You know, somebody who could shoot the long ball. Maybe even if he got free, he could even just pull up and possibly take a jump shot. So it gave you another scoring dynamic, which I think in the long term, it gives better balance to that starting five versus having, I don't know, whoever else they want to put into the starting lineup. I mean, Derek White, it looked like he played a lot more, inspired ball tonight. He actually put up some points. He didn't lay an egg, you know. But, you know, one thing that I would think that the Spurs would do at some point is take Rudy Gay out of that starting lineup and put him into the second unit, because I think our second unit really needs some balance. I like the balance out of the starting five, but over the course of this season, I think there's still going to be some more tweaks to that. But you got to admire what they did tonight. They played very good on both, not just the offensive end, but also on the defensive end. I can't believe I'm saying that, Jeff. The Spurs played great defense. Yeah,
it has been a while since we saw some Spurs defense. But going back to Bertans, look, you know, he played 26 minutes. You know, he shot 4-7 from the field. He made 2 3-pointers, and he finished with 10 points, and luckily didn't get a poster counted on him because he got postered pretty bad during the game. Nevertheless, though, I like that. I like that it gives, like you mentioned, another score, an outside threat. Yeah, you know, circling back to Davis Bertans, I liked how not only did he spread the floor, like you mentioned, you know, he contributed, 2 3-pointers, 10 points, avoided getting posterized thanks to an offensive foul on a Blazers guy who, my goodness, Joe, that would have been one nasty dunk if it counted. But nevertheless, though, I like that shuffle. You know, I like that. It gives them a person who can open up the floor for DeMar DeRozan and LaMarcus Aldridge. And let's go ahead and talk about those two guys, because they pretty much were the bread and butter for San Antonio in the win over Portland. 29 points from LaMarcus Aldridge, 36 points from DeMar DeRozan. The Spurs, let's face it, Joe, they need this type of effort game in, game out from the duo.
Yeah, they're going to need that type of performance, especially from LaMarcus. You know, DeMar, he's been money most of the season. You know, he's had some games where he's, you know, scored in the low 20s, which it's not bad. He's still scoring double digits. The only issue or the negative thing to that or on the flip side is LaMarcus hasn't been very consistent on offense, you know. He says that the double teams, you know, kind of get him out of rhythm. I know he got a lot of flack for that because Spurs fans were really going at him saying, oh, you need your touches. He was just saying, hey, when I get the double team, it gets me out of rhythm. I need more touches to get into rhythm. It wasn't saying that he was whining or complaining or making an excuse. He was just letting you know how he feels. And, you know, we need that production out of him every night in order for us to have a chance. But more importantly, we need production out of everybody on the court. And tonight, what we saw is that there was, you know, pretty much a balanced scoring effort tonight. You had more than one player score in double figures. But I got to come back to one. I'm going to give you a positive. I'm going to come back to reality. At the end of the day, when I'm looking at the stat line, the numbers don't lie. And as well as LaMarcus played, he was still -2 on the night, you know, in the plus minus. Rudy Gay, as well as he played, he had 18 points. He was -12. Bryn Forbes, as well as he's been playing all season, and as, you know, he played a decent game tonight. He had 7 points, but he still contributed. He was out there. He was battling, and I liked his energy and his effort out there on the court. He had 7 points on the night. He was -14 in the plus-minus, which means that the player efficiency rating that they had as far as how well they helped the team play out there on the court was a little bit, you know, to be desired. When you're in the negative, that just says that you weren't doing enough to get your team to be in the positive when you were out there on the court. I mean, what do you think about that?
Yeah, well, as far as LaMarcus, you know, as much as he put up a monster game, we talked about his numbers, 34 minutes, 11 for 15 from the field.
Yeah.
73% shooting. He went 87% from the free throw line. But what got him, why he was a -2, because he didn't value the ball. He turned the ball over five times during the game. And that's what really got him to become more of a negative than a positive for San Antonio on the court. But nevertheless, though, Joe, you know, you look at the plus minus numbers, a lot better than they were in the last two games. I tell you that much. You know, this is a lot better. That tells me the Spurs, they're a little bit more focused. They were all like crossing their T's, dotting their I's on the court. And it showed for the game. Let me repeat that. For the game, they shot 60% from the field and a whopping 73% from the three-point line. Let's face it, numbers like that don't come often so far this season, and the Spurs definitely capitalized. And as much as that may drop your jaw, Joe, wow, you know, 73% from the field, three-point line, and 60% from the field, I like the fast break points.
Yeah.
The Spurs, 17 fast break points to the Blazers' 8. That tells me they were running. They were going to go. They were capitalizing on turnovers and getting out, controlling the pace, Joe.
Yeah, maybe that's one of the things that the Spurs really need to look into. You know, they haven't been able to control the pace in most of these games. And the weird thing is, Jeff, if you look on paper, this team isn't bad as far as the talent goes. You know, on paper, they have a good mixture of players that should be able to compete at a high level. I just think they were just going through a funk. And because they weren't running out there on the court, they weren't controlling the pace of the game, they got themselves in trouble. They got themselves out of rhythm. The game got stagnant for them. But also, more importantly, this Spurs system works when the team can play defense. And I keep saying that time and time again. Tonight, you actually saw it for yourselves if you're watching the game. When the team plays good on the defensive end, everything else works. And if they can't continue to do that consistently, we're going to see them kind of lapse back in to how they were playing prior to this win.
Yeah, and defensively, the Spurs put up good numbers, 34 rebounds. They had 5 steals for the game and 4 blocks. Turnovers were a little issue, but not too bad, 12 turnovers. But although they may have been out-rebounded by Portland by 1, or Portland had more steals by 1, it doesn't matter because the Spurs were knocking down shots, and they had their 2 main all-stars going at full throttle at 100%, and it paid off. Let's talk about DeMar DeRozan real fast. Joe, 38 minutes, 13 for 27, 48% from the field, 10 for 10 from the free throw line, 8 rebounds, and I like this, Joe, 6 assists and 2 steals. Joe, you may have had 4 turnovers, but wow, what a performance from DeMar DeRozan.
Yeah, not only that, but when you look at his player efficiency for the night, he was a plus 9, which means he not only did he score, but he helped his team when he was out there. They weren't in the negative. You know, and the same thing goes for Derek White. Derek White, he played 32 minutes. He was 4 of 7 from shooting, you know, from the field. He shot 57% for the night, and he scored 10 points. He was up in the plus minus. He was 15, plus 15, which is amazing, right? Because it seemed like he had gone through a little slump, and he wasn't really getting the minutes that he needed to be productive out there on the court. But I'm glad he got some playing time. And he made the most of it tonight. And we need him to play like that. You know, these role players, I think, Jeff, is really what really helped the Spurs tonight. The bench overall played a lot better. You like that energy. You like that effort tonight. Because let's face it, Jeff, if you saw the last couple of games, the bench was stinking up the joint. They were horrible. But tonight, they actually played a really good game.
Well, look, Joe, it was a game that they needed to have. I mean, if they had lost 3 in a row, that would have been disaster. Man. I mean, I think that would have really put everything in under their microscope, more so for the Spurs team, in the sense of what's going on, what are they doing, you know, why is it not working, you know, is there a chemistry issue, does a trade need to be made? Look, this is just a Band-Aid win. That's what I'm going to call it, a Band-Aid win. It was a nice win. It was a good win. I give them credit. They did well. But you know, there's still a lot of work to be done. But let's talk about a little bit more about the defense. Let's talk about the 2 all-stars for Portland, CJ McCollum and Damian Lillard. Now, look, they torched the Spurs. 24 points for McCollum and 37 for Lillard. But they made them work. McCollum, 11 for 22. Damian Lillard, 12 for 28. And he also struggled from the 3-point line, 3 of 11 for 27%, as did McCollum, 2 of 6, 33%. Joe, yeah, the Blazers, those two guys, nobody can slow them down. And historically, they score a lot of points versus the Spurs. But the Spurs made them work, Joe. And that says a lot to the perimeter defense.
Yeah, it does say a lot about the perimeter defense and how it affected, you know, both Damian and CJ tonight.
Derek White had a lot to do with that.
Oh, yeah, Derek White had a lot to do with that. In fact, Derek White, if you look at what happens out there on the court from the defensive end, Derek White on the defensive end plays a lot better than Bryn Forbes. Bryn Forbes is undersized. Derek White has a little bit more bulk. And I just think that overall, he likes to play defense. He likes to get after it. And I saw him at times, you know, when he was guarding, you know, these guards and he was playing defense out there on the court. He just looked a lot better tonight. You know, he was really on it. He didn't give up on plays. He stuck with it. He wasn't trying to go underneath screens where he was messing up in the prior games. You know, he played a better overall defensive game, and you saw the result of that. I think if he can continue to work on what he did tonight, the Spurs will be in better shape because they have somebody out there that can actually keep up with some of these guards, you know. And that's, I think, notoriously, that's where the Spurs are weak, is at the guard play. Because, I mean, let's face it, we don't have DeJounte, you know, and barring any miracle, he's not coming back this season. The Spurs are trying to do the best they can with the guards that they have. but we don't have one of our best defensive players, which is DeJounte Murray. But I think Derek White stepped in nicely and did a very great, good job tonight.
Yeah, they did really well. And maybe sometimes it's not a matter of numbers and this and that. Joe, one thing you kept on telling me during the game was they're playing inspired basketball. What did you mean by that?
They came out and they played inspired. You know, they didn't have their heads held down. You know, they didn't come out and say, woe is me, oh, we're going to give up. This is the best we can do. No, they came out and they said, you know what? We know we're capable of playing better, and we're going to show everyone. And they came out and they showed the rest of the NBA, and they showed the fans here, we can still play at a high level. We're still the San Antonio Spurs. And that's what I mean by inspired ball. They didn't hang their heads down. They came out and they played with confidence. They played with a renewed energy. You could tell that whatever bad juju they had, they just dispelled it. I don't know if Coach Pop hired a curandero or whatever Mexican witch doctor to come in and bless the team or what. You know, maybe they lit some candles in the back. I don't know. But whatever they did, it worked, Jeff.
Yeah, and the Spurs definitely needed a win. It was much needed. The fact of the matter is they did not look good versus Houston. And, of course, we all know what happened in the massacre in Minnesota. But Joe and I, we're going to take a quick break. When we get back, we're going to look at the game as a whole and use it going forward. Okay, we are back, and I'm joined by Joe Garcia of Two Shots Podcast. Joe, look, a lot of Spurs fans, let's face it, they were down in the dumps with this team in the last two games. And I don't blame them. I don't blame them. I witnessed that pathetic performance versus Houston at the AT&T Center. I was there on press row. I saw it. It was horrible. There was a little smattering of boos that we heard from the fans directed at the Spurs. Now, we all know that Spurs fans can be fickle. And there's some Spurs fans out there, Joe, that are saying like, oh, we are back. Yeah, this is it. We're back on the right path. Joe, do you think, as a whole, could you look at this team, this win over Portland, as a springboard? Or are you still kind of rubbing your head and tapping your fingers saying, nah, I need to see more out of this team first?
Yeah, this is like you said, it's like a Band-Aid right now. You know, you kind of stop the wound from festering, from bleeding. But we got to see how it heals. You know, is it going to scab up and you're scratching and bleed again? You know, we got to see what's really going to happen, man. Am I going to put some Neosporin on that wound, take care of it, and it's going to heal, and it's going to be good to go from here on out? We really don't know what we're going to get with this team. They've been, one thing that the Spurs have been consistent with this season is being inconsistent. Until I see something change with that narrative, we're going to look forward to the same old, same old. I'm hoping that we're both wrong on this, but we've seen what the Spurs can do in spades or in spurts. You know, sometimes they'll come out and play two games really well, and then they'll lay an egg for three or four games in a row. You know, unfortunately, go ahead.
No, I'm sorry. Yeah. And for me, though, I'm sorry. I thought you were taking a break there, but I look at this as a Band-Aid win because I need to see more out of this. I know you need to see more out of this team.
Yeah.
And you don't want to jump on the bandwagon saying they're back, because they're not, because they're going to go back on the road. They're going to go to Utah. Then they're going to go to LA Lakers. And then, yeah, they have a nice home stand coming up, but they got some pretty heavy teams on there. But the fact of the matter is this, Joe, they're still below 500. They're, 11 and 12 now. And, yeah, there's the bright side is that they're not out of the playoff race, you know, game and a half out of the eighth spot. But if anything, fans should look at this as a starting point as far as adjustments. Maybe starting Davis is a smart thing. Maybe that's something they should keep on going on into the future. Seeing Derek and Bryn paired up a little bit more often, that'd be good to see. Because face it, Bryn Forbes and Patty Mills on the same on the court at the same time does not equal any type of defense, no matter who you put out there for the opposing team. They're not going to slow them down. Derek seems to be the better bet in that situation. Joe, would you, if a Spurs fan were to come up to you right now and say, Joe, we're back, Joe, this is it, we beat the Blazers, you know, what would you tell them?
First of all, I would tell them are they under some medicinal powers, you know? Second, I would be like, no, you got to come back down to earth. Let's be realistic here. Let's see what this team can do over the course of the next month. Let's see how they look at the end of December. Let's see how they look at the beginning of January, because that's notoriously when the team starts to come together. And at that juncture, you're going to see what this team is really made of. And as we keep coming back to, you're only as good as your record says you are. So even with this win, and everybody's excited, because as I stated earlier on Twitter, winning cures all. It does, yeah. But your record says who you are. And right now, like you stated, the Spurs are still under 500. You know, until they get above that, then you can say this is a winning team. Right now, they're not a winning team. They won a game. They haven't won a couple of games in a row. So there's still a lot of work to be done. They're moving in the right direction, should I say. But, you know, I got to say one thing that's really troubling to me this season. What's going on with Marco Bellinelli? You know, I was excited to see that the Spurs signed him in the offseason. I was, you know, man, we got Belly back. You know, he's going to be great. To me, Marco has been one of the biggest disappointments this season. You know, he plays great from, you know, in certain games than others. He's just non-existent. You know, we need more consistency out of him. And that shouldn't be the case, because he's a veteran. He's been in the Spurs system before. It's not like this is new to him. And to me, it's just like, what's going on with him? I thought he was going to be one of the X factors for us, you know, as far as him being able to shoot the long ball, moving without the ball, the little in-between game that he has. And it just hasn't really materialized. It's been very inconsistent. So it's the question needs to be asked. Where do we go from this point on? Do we keep him, or do we try to make a trade, maybe for a pick, if he's not really, you know, being productive?
Well, look, according to San Antonio, I know he's been dealing with neck stiffness, but take it for what it is. But maybe that could have been affecting him. He did not play against the Blazers due to that injury. First, he was questionable. Then they upgraded him to out for that same injury. Could that be affecting him? Possibly. Another thing that could be affecting him, too, is just simply the fact that Forbes has been playing well. DeMar DeRozan is playing well. Maybe they want to give more minutes to Derek White to see what he can do. So there's a lot of factors in there. Yeah, I get it. You know, he was coming off a solid season with the Sixers. You know, was one of their better players off the bench in the postseason, just lighting it up. I say give it time. I think let's see how this pans out. I see your frustration, but at the same time, earlier in the season, he was actually one of the more consistent scorers off that bench. I wrote a write-up about him at the Spurs Zone. You can find at News 4 San Antonio and Fox 29, SanAntonio.com, about him. Has he trickled off a bit? Maybe. But he's a veteran presence, and he's been there, done that with San Antonio. He won a title with San Antonio. I think you give him a little bit of benefit of the doubt, Joe, but I hear what you're saying. Yeah, you need to see a little bit more production out of him. Joe, what did you think about the play? And I don't mean to go back to what happened in the game versus Portland, because we're beyond that. We're looking forward to talking about this game, the win, as far as it being a springboard. But Jakob Poeltl, he played 13 minutes in that win over the Blazers. He had 6 points, and he had 3 rebounds. He had 2 assists and 1 steal and 2 blocks. Is that what you want out of him? Is that what you want out of him moving forward? Because it looks like they may give him more burn, because we don't know when Pau Gasol is coming back.
Yeah. Any points you get out of Jakob Poeltl, it's a plus. He's out there to play defense. He's out there to bang out, you know, and get some boards out, you know, for you out there. He's out there to bang with the best of them, you know. And if he can give you some blocks per night, give you a steal, help you out, you know, with some assists, you know, because his passing ability is pretty good, you know, and then you're getting points out of him, that's a plus to me. I'd rather have him out there on the court than Dante Cunningham. Dante Cunningham has never been one of my favorites, man. And I got to tell you, you know, it's because he doesn't put up very many points. You know, he'll have nights where he'll go off and he'll score in double digits, but it's not very consistent, and he hasn't been very good on the defensive end. But I look at Jakob Poeltl, and I'm like, Jakob Poeltl just seems to fit in better because he's younger and he can get after it a little bit more, and he has a bigger body. So if you're looking at production, you know, as far as the defensive end, I'd rather have Jakob Poeltl. You know, let's have Dante Cunningham maybe come, you know, be coming off the bench, maybe, you know, in that second unit. I think he would be better suited there than to be a starter, but I don't make those decisions.
Look, versus the Blazers, they did things well on both ends of the court. They scored. We know they can score. That's one thing they can do, but they have issues defending. They defended well. But moving forward, I think you got to put in perspective, it's just one game. It's just one game. Yeah, it's a nice game. It's not the two-game skid. You beat a better Western Conference team, record-wise at least. So that's good. But it's just one game. And I think fans need to keep this in perspective before they start, you know, piling on the Spurs are going to be title-bound bandwagon, because that's not going to happen. Now, if they go out and beat the Utah Jazz and do something against the Lakers, all right, maybe you got something there, but this is just one game. Joe, do you look at it as just one game, or do you think of this as maybe a blueprint of what could work moving forward?
I think it's just one game, but it does look like they're starting to figure some things out as far as the lineup goes. So it could be used as a springboard to possibly help them play more consistent moving forward. Are they still going to have some lapses this early in the season? Probably. You know, they're probably going to get blown out again. They think that's going to happen a lot more than we'd like, Spurs fans. But it is what it is at this point. You know, if you can get a win wherever you can get it, whether it be at home or on the road, I think we're going to savor this and we're going to say, you know what? A win is a win. It doesn't matter what it looks like or where it comes, whether it's be at home or on the road, we'll take it. You know, because the Spurs,
yeah,
they need to continue winning to stay relevant, because if they can't continue to win games, they're going to stay exactly where they're at right now, and they're not going to move any further up in these Western Conference standings. And if they continue to lose consistently, they're going to be on the outside looking in with no hope of making the playoffs. So let's just hope that they can right this ship, keep moving forward and getting some wins and be more consistent.
Yeah, it was a nice win, but it's a win that they can just simply build on. Maybe look back and see, like, okay, what did we do right here? Joe mentioned about the intensity, contributions from everybody, you know, the two stars, LMA and DeMar, being the stars that they are with a hell of a scoring night. So there's something there. They just got to work with it and move forward. Okay, so Joe and I, we're going to take our last break. When we get back, we're going to put a wrap on this episode of Locked On Spurs. We are back, and I'm joined by Joe Garcia of Two Shots Podcast. Follow him on Twitter at Two Shots Podcast. Joe, your final thoughts on the win and the upcoming schedule.
All right. On this win, let's be realistic. You know, if I'm looking at this, and I always follow, I don't know if anybody else does, but I do. I follow Paul Garcia. He's very good, you know, as far as what he gives you from the stats, you know, on Twitter. I love Paul. He had something to say about this, and I'm going to let the Spurs fans know about it. We've played 23 games, and the Spurs are playing right now, even with this win, they're playing with the efficiency of a 32-win team. You know, right now, the Spurs rank 10th offensively and 29th defensively. And that kind of puts things in perspective right now. So is it, you know, we savor the win? Yeah, but let's face it, Spurs fans, it is just one win. There is still work to be done. But maybe the Spurs can use this as a blueprint. You know, hey, we got to play like this every single night from here on out to give ourselves a chance, you know?
Yeah, I'm right there with you. It is just one win. It's a good win. It's a solid win. It's something they can build on. And, you know, don't lose this momentum. Do not let what happened in the past, Minnesota, Houston, dictate what's going to happen moving forward. One thing they said after the Houston loss in the locker room, they being the players and Derek White and DeMar DeRozan, said they want to stick together. They want to come together during their downtime. And that was a downtime for them. Now they're in the uptime. Look, they're not going to practice tomorrow. I think they deserve a day off after rebounding from that loss to Houston. So it's time for them to really start thinking forward and start saying, okay, we had two pitiful showings, but we came back and beat a valuable quality Western Conference team. Build on that. Just simply build on that. Do, you know, don't take it for what it is. It's a win. Good. Move on. What do we do well? What do we do right? Simply like that. And I think they'll be fine if they do that. Are they title bound? No. Joe, you mentioned they're going to have their ups and downs still coming up. Yeah, they're still going to have bad wins. They're going to have good wins. They're going to have losing streaks. They might not even have a mini winning streak. Who knows? But this team is still finding their way. Look at how many times, another lineup change? Now Davis Bertans started. You know, you might see Pop still tinkering with that lineup. It's still a work in progress, and that's why I still said, like, you and I spoke in the last lockdown we did together, you know, I'm team stay the course. You know, just try to figure it out and let's see how the chips fall. All right, so that's going to put a wrap on this episode of Locked On Spurs. But I want to make sure you have a chance to talk to me and Joe. You can follow me on Twitter at Jeff G Spurs Zone, follow or email me at jeffgarcia74@gmail.com. Joe, I know it's an exciting week for you because Two Shots Podcast Net, your network, is close to being launched.
Yeah, we're ready to launch already. You know, we're going to go ahead and make an announcement possibly on Monday. But you can follow us on Two Shots Podcast on Twitter, you know, Facebook and Instagram at TWOSHOTS Podcast. And you can also look us up on the internet and see what we're doing there on the network, you know, at twoshotssa.com.
There you go. So hopefully the Spurs can capitalize on this win over Portland and move forward in the right direction. But for Joe Garcia, I am Jeff Garcia. We're going to put a lock on this episode of Locked On Spurs.